Father, we receive tonight wisdom and revelation in the Lord of your Son Jesus. We ask for clarification of areas of focus. Thank you for precision and accuracy in teaching, no error in reception. We all see Jesus Christ as he beholds us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Ministry in the Spirit, understanding New Testament ministry. Praise God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now we've said that the word spirituals means the things of the Spirit. Right? The things of the Spirit, specific. So when we say things of the Spirit, well, better still to say things in the Spirit. Because the language of the New Covenant is what? In. Things in the Spirit. Now, why did we say in the Spirit? Because if we say of the Spirit, then we're looking at a secondary personality. That is, we have something in the Holy Ghost. In the sense that, well, this is how people think about it. We have the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost has the gifts. Somehow, that's somehow because you wonder, why does he have the gifts? But then the thing is, the gifts are in the Spirit because that's the language of the New Testament. Now, quickly go to Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, where we have a clear prophecy on the gift of the Spirit. Ezekiel 26, or 36 and 26. Ezekiel 36 and 26. A very important text of Scripture. Now, this is what he says. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will put away the stony heart of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. Now, 27 really drives home the point. I will put my spirit within you. Notice what he says he will give. It's just clarity of explanation. He says, I'll give you a new heart. Heart already means your nature, right? Good. So he says, now that heart is my spirit. In other words, the heart of the man born again, better still, the nature of the man born again is the Spirit of God. So you don't have a nature, then you have the Spirit of God. Nope. The Spirit of God is your nature. I'll take it one more time. The Spirit of God is your nature. That's why all the things called the characteristics of your conduct are called fruitage of it. Fruitage of the new birth. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruitage of the Spirit. Or result of the Spirit. That is because you are born of the Spirit is what you have. And Jesus said it expressly. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay? So say, I'm born of the Spirit. Good enough. So, you don't have a possession called the Spirit of God. That's not too nice an explanation. You have a nature called the Spirit of God. And so, he says, a new heart will I give unto you, a new spirit. I put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And that's a precise prophecy. So go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. So concerning the things, right? So there will be things of what? Things in the Spirit. Now, notice the word Spirit. The word Spirit is pneuma. I do a little bit of linguistics and some sociology also in Bible study. And I'm wondering, there's no other way to have described spirit. Because if something is not seen, your best explanation will be to use something synonymous. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not seen. That's why it's called spirit. A friend of mine I like the way he defined spirit. I love the way he defined spirit several years ago, 1995. He says, spirit is that which from which issues forth. I've said this for many, many years. Because I find the best explanation of the spirit man I've ever had. From that which issues forth, animating force. Right, that's where you find all life. So he says that's what the spirit is. And I've not found anybody better describe it. So the word spirit is taken from two words in the Old Testament, ruach. R-U-A-C-H or R-U-A-C-K. And the New Testament, when I say New Testament, realize I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John down to Revelation. When I say Old Testament, I'm talking about Genesis down to Malachi for reference purposes, okay? Because the languages in those books were similar. So that's why we say New Testament Greek, Old Testament language. You follow what I'm saying? Good. So the word that in those two statements, that is in the two expressions, spirit means breath, air, wind. Okay? Breath, air, wind. Now, this is important. And I'm probably going to explain this to you much later. But not today. But notice this. He uses the word pneuma, spirit. That which you can see, but exists. That which you can see, but exists. And recall that everything given to us at the new birth, at salvation, is in the spirit. Everything. Am I right? Am I correct? Everything is. So, look at the first mention. So we're gonna, if we agree that pneuma is New Testament language, so let's look at it. Pneuma. First mention. Matthew's Gospel 1. 18. Now, put that together with Mark 1:8, Luke 1:15, and John 1:32. Let's run through it. Matthew 1:18. Matthew 1:18. First mention of spirit. He says, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. She was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. So, you can say, she was found with the child of the unseen Holy. Unseen. Right? Luke's Gospel. Mark's Gospel 1:8. Mark's Gospel 1:8. Mark's Gospel 1:8. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. John. With the Holy Ghost. Luke's Gospel 1:15. Slightly different. Luke's Gospel 1:15. He shall be filled, that's John the Baptist, with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Explain that. Explain what that meant to you, right? Have I explained this to you before? Not that he was born with the Holy Ghost. That's not what it means. From his mother's womb. Now go on. Then John's Gospel 1:32. John's Gospel 1:32. John bore record, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. So the first mention of the word Spirit in the four Gospels, pay attention now, is not demons. So introduction of Spirit is Holy Spirit. Not Asmodeus, or Bacchus, or which one is spirit of? Hunkubus and succubus. You know about that. You know. First mention. Spirit. First mention. The Holy Spirit. First mention. Spirit of God. First mention. The Spirit. First mention. The Holy Spirit. Now, Acts of the Apostles. First mention. Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1. You'll read verse 2. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he had, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Through the Holy Ghost. Not difficult to know in verse 8, you shall receive power after with the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Verse 5, not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Introductory statement, the Holy Ghost. Right? Romans 1:4. Romans 1:4. Nobody started talking about another spirit. So the default mode of Bible speaking on the spirit is the Holy Spirit. Default mode. Now, if for example, we not have to talk about other things, they will talk about angels and all the kind of things, but it can't be the subject matter. That is, if we're talking about spirit at any point in time, what we should always be talking about is the Holy Spirit. Now, if we not have to digress, alright, which is when we talk about spirit husband. I thought you didn't get that. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. And do you notice that man, at this point, man was never emphasized, I didn't say was never called, was never emphasized as a spirit in the entire epistle. He was referred to, but he was not emphasized. The emphasis of the man born again is in Christ. The emphasis of the man born again is in Christ. So he is relatively referred to in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when we teach man, so for example, in new creation, we teach him as a spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul, lives in a body. Though I've explained that to you. That's not too biblical. But if we say that in that text, in that sense, we might not be driving home the point eventually. Now look at Romans 1:4. Again, opening statement. Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Sorry, that's not true. 1 Corinthians 2:4. By speech and preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, of the Spirit and of power. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Opening statements of the word Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Nobody started with evil spirits. Nobody started with angels. Maybe John the Baptist. Not John the Baptist. John the Beloved. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit where? In our hearts. He gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Where? In our heart. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll split Ephesians for you purposely. No, Galatians chapter 3 first. Then we'll go to Ephesians. Galatians 3. Who has bewitched you? Remember that scripture? We're coming back here. Who has bewitched you? Who are you, Galatians? Who has bewitched you? Then he says it to you in verse 2. You receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Notice that. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now what spirit is he talking about? Chapter 3 verse 14. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. Then, Ephesians 1:3. I'll speed that up for you. Because he opens by saying, blessed with all spiritual blessings. And I explain what spiritual is, what from the Spirit or of the Spirit or by the Spirit. So, well, intent, there's an intention there of talking about the Spirit. Since it's things of the Spirit, that means if I'm going to do proper language interpretation, I will not put spiritual. You get what I'm saying? I won't put spiritual, I'll say of the Spirit. So that means I've opened up chapter 1, verse 3 with the word Spirit. You get that? Good. So I'll speed that up for you. However, not too long from there, verse 13 talks about being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 1:13. Philippians 1:19. Philippians 1:19. Are you there? Philippians 1:19. Through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1. Well, I'll split up as well, because Colossians 1 also has in verse 9 the word spiritual understanding. Better still, understanding of the Spirit. All right? Understanding of the things of the Spirit, or understanding of the Spirit. So I'll split that up, Colossians 1:9. However, Colossians 2:5 says, yet I'm with you in the Spirit, beholding, all right, joy and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith. In the Spirit, I'm with you. Colossians 2:5. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, first mention. He says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. A nice way to start a letter. Joy of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hear that? Hear all quickly. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Sanctification, he says, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification, right? Of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So, first mention in all these letters is the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Right? First mention. Okay? So, it will be an exception for us to discuss any other spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. It's an exception we have to discuss another spirit. That is, whenever we're in church and we say Spirit, our mind should be Holy Spirit. Now, if we say Holy Spirit, first thing on my mind is the promise of the Father. Promise of the Father that we have received by faith. Alright? What's the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God. Who is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of Christ. Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Sons. Spirit of Sons, our nature, our DNA. Amen. That's registered in our mind. So that's if we have to talk about other things, then we talk about other spirits. So the first thing of that means we're saying pneuma is the word spirit. And the first use of the word pneuma in the letters is Holy Spirit. So our idea of the unseen realm is never in the clouds, is what we have. The first thing in our minds of the unseen is what we have. Our first level of reckoning, our first level of respect or regard should be what we have. I grew up hearing the word spirit for things like demons. And it takes a while to brush these things off your mind. It takes a long while. A dear brother was chatting me up today, and we were talking. He said, look, Sai said, it's so difficult for many people to get rid of the new Whole Testament with the new. He said, why is it so difficult? I said, it's really difficult. I've experienced that before. And even me, after several years of teaching the New Testament, I mean several years, I'm still removing strands of the Old Testament in my teaching. I look in again. Oh, you know, when you see food and see someone's air inside, the kind of stuff like that. I remember what else. I was somewhere now, I was passing, and I saw someone teaching English. You know the story. Some of you know the story already. And I had this. Oh yeah, English. And he says, A for apple. And he should say, and I'm alone. I mean, I'm wondering, you're teaching English. And that's the way, so I said, someone from your town will say things like, come and be going. You know, we say, come and be going. You know, you learn English from with a mindset of a Yoruba man. Chago, I'm coming, you know why? Yoruba says, mumbo. Whereas English is, I am coming. So, you have received English in Yoruba. I mean, it took a while, for example, for some folks. You say, daddy is calling you, they are calling you. Have you done that before? You received it. It's the same way. You will communicate the way you receive. So you've learned about the finished work of redemption. Yes. Then with a mindset. I tell you, there's still a good number of Christians who eat and drink the grace message, like they call it, and they still confess their sins when you are not there. Let's face reality. So it's a mindset. But I'm trusting God for something. I was in the shower today, I said, Lord, it's very possible. I was asking myself, I said, Lord, it's possible to have people born again and they won't have the problems we all had. It's possible. It's possible for people to be saved and they won't have all these testimonies and say, when I used to. No, you can be a real new creature. I think it's possible. Praise God. Sometimes when I see some of our church members and I look at them and I think, you guys are really lucky. Not blessed, I said lucky. Because I don't think I was not blessed. I'm thinking, just like that. Sometimes in your mind, kind of mind, you want to punish people a bit. At least pass through what I went through. So I told the fellow, I said, that's how it is. You've been schooled in a particular way. You receive the new wine in old wineskins. You know, there are people today who say prophesy like this. Are you wondering? Calisthenics? Gymnastics? Or prophecy? Praise God. How did I get here? So the first thing in your mind, where you hear spirit, should never be any other thing but what you have. That's the right mindset. Hallelujah. So, notice this. When we say this spirit, we're referring to unseen things. So, if something is given to you in the unseen, that means those things themselves are what? Unseen. And you see, this is the major problem with using symbols. It's a big problem. I explained a bit of that on Sunday. Symbols cross, what kind of thing? What is it? Water. Some guys, I was saying someone's wall, I was laughing. They were arguing endlessly. He's not, what is wrong with it? If we say baptized in water, what is wrong with it? A lot of things are wrong with it. Even what you are saying is what is wrong with it. The fact that you are arguing is really the danger there. What are you arguing over? You are fighting over water. 2,000 years after. Ignorance should not be that old. Is it not a demonstration of faith? Faith? Faith and water? How? But everybody is doing it. Hey, this is really dangerous. Just like the issue of tithe. I've said it before. People will fight over tithe in heaven. I'm sure. My friend used to say this. It's a jazz that Jesus' name does not kill. I heard this yesterday. And I was torn. Brethren. If God will require you to do something, to open window of heaven, what about door? I said, eh? How can somebody do anything like this? Brethren, imagine what you got to get the door. I said, hey. A very influential preacher said it though. I said, Jesus. Even Malachi would say,
Let's go on now. So let's be specific. So the things of the spirit are unseen. You can find them in a bottle. Brother Higgins told a story. He said, some guys, they said, they caught a demon. And they put the demon in the bottle. And people were coming to him. Hey, they were looking at it. You know, how stupid can you be? How stupid? Just like people thinking they are second in command to the devil. That's what a lady tell me that in U.S. I was laughing. Sir, why are you laughing? Let's laugh together. Who did this to you? You see, very, very educated people. When it comes to religion, they don't say it again. No. Can you think like this? Second in command. Who started the hierarchy? How did you, were you interviewed? Did you fight? No, I was just asking. Well, when I was sleeping, they just gave me food. I became second in command. How about now? Don't get too tired, okay? So, you know, if these are things in the unseen, you can't find them in an anki.
because they're unseen. You can't find them in water because they're unseen. Alright? You cannot find them in olive oil because they're unseen. Is that clear? You can only find them where? In the unseen. Now, watch this. So, let's get specific. Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. Verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then it says in verse 15, I want us to read verse 15 together. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Now, the word spirit of adoption is a spirit of sonship. Huthesia. Who else is son, thesia, is to see as or place as. So, Huthesia, the spirit of sons. Verse 9. The spirit of God. The spirit of Christ. Verse 10. The spirit is life. Verse 2. The spirit of life in Christ. Verse 11. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Verse 14, the Spirit of God. Verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that is our spirit, the Spirit, are one and the same. Constitution and nature. The Spirit of sons. So specific, Galatians 4. Please pay attention here. You know, it makes a distinction between the spirit of bondage again to fear. Then it says the spirit of sons. So that means there is a spirit of bondage. It exists. Then there is a spirit of sons. Now the spirit of bondage is from the word doulos, which is slavery. That which is in slaves. So Galatians 4 comes out more clearer. Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. Notice that. The adoption of sons. Because you are sons, he has set forth the spirit. Watch this. Now, this is bad translation. We might receive the adoption of sons. That is, because you are sons. Not that because you are sons, he now sent forth the spirit of his son. How can you become a son without the spirit of a son? So we should have put verse 6, verse 5, should have ended with, because you are sons. Then started verse 6 with, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. That is, and you are sons. Then put it like this. You have received the adoption of sons, and you are sons. Because God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So quickly correct that in your Bible. I'll put it again. To redeem them under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Alright? And you are sons. Are you following this? Do you understand that? So put the because after sons. Because God has set forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba Father. Does that make sense to you? Huh? Okay. Wherefore you are no more a servant. That's why he called the spirit of bondage. Doulos. A slave. But a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So let's describe it. We have spirit of sons. Now, what's the spirit of sons? Verse 14, Galatians 3. The promise of the spirit through faith. Or better still, the promised spirit. So, a spirit of the spirit was promised. So we have received the promised spirit. The promise which is the spirit. Does that make sense? Good. Ephesians 1:13. I'm going through what we studied earlier. Ephesians 1:13. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. The word seal is proof of ownership. Proof of what belongs to you. So that means, why do we belong to God? Because we have his spirit. Why are we his children? Because we have his spirit. Not his spirit in our pockets. His spirit as our nature. That's how you know you are someone's son, because you share the same DNA. So This is his spirit. This is our spirit. All right? To the same. You see it with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:18 says one spirit. Okay? 2:18. Through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. So all sons have one spirit. Same as Jesus. One spirit to the Father. So go to 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined together with the Lord is what? One spirit. One spirit means one spirit. Actually, in the Greek, it's a numerical description. One. One spirit. So, that means you will not find a second kind. Just one. So I'll say one spirit. So that means there is no slavery in that spirit. There's no slavery in that spirit. Two things you discover are not in that spirit. No slavery, because it's sons. Then there's no fear. Discover that? Spirit of bondage again to fear. But spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Father, Abba Father. So, 2 Timothy 1:6-7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We'll sing that one. I will still watch Bonnie Hill. People like music, but they don't listen to the lyrics. Spirit of fear and a sound mind. God has not given us. God has not given us. Because I was in the choir, we'll sing it and all that. But you see, because we don't understand what we're saying. Okay? He says there is no fear in love, for love, there's torment in fear. Fear has torment. But perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. What is perfect love? We didn't love him, he loved us. That's perfect love. It takes away fear. The fact that someone died for you before you even knew him should take away fear of the person of your mind. You hadn't made your first confession. You hadn't made your first. I had something that made me look crazy. Someone talked about forgiveness of sins. He's trying to explain forgiveness of sins. And then these folks were saying, the preachers of the gospel, and they said, well, the Bible says if you confess your sins, it's people and just forgiven because of all righteousness. And God said, no. That what he's saying there has nothing to do with the believer. That's an unbeliever that when he confesses Jesus Christ, and they say, what do you mean? So the fellow, the preacher, the man of God, he said, no, 1 John 2:1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is appointed for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. And in verse 12, and he says, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And the preacher said, no, the reason for 1, 2, and 12 is 9. It's when you confess 9 that it becomes your propitiation. In my entire life, I've never seen anybody interpret scriptures like that. Even agnostics are not that bold. Even Muslims will say that. What is that, preachers? Respectable people with so many people on the dead. And I'm thinking, my God, people are going through hell. How can you link 9 to 2:1, 2:2, 2:12? That if you don't confess, it's not your propitiation. When it says not only us, but the whole world. So, I don't get that. Oh my God. Sunday. So here we go. There's no slavery in the spirit. So where you find slavery, fear, cringing, it's not that spirit. It says, we have not received the spirit of slaves to fear. You know, people say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. They think that all do. After singing all that, singing, I'm a child of God. Brethren, let us lift our hands and just worship God. Brethren, let us worship God now. Brethren, Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, prepare me.
Open your eyes. Choose one.
You just said now, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a son of God. Then boldly say, as he is, so am I. That's the essence of not having fear. You are fearlessly saying who you are. Fearlessly. There's no problem. Nobody's going to get angry when you say it. Someone told me, he said, what if a believer says, I'm God? Say, God will just laugh. He would say, who are you trying to, what are you trying to do? Then the guy said, hey, no, but is that not what Satan tried to do? And then God, I said, shut up your mouth. Satan is not so daft to overthrow God. That can stop that nonsense. Whoever told you that legend is called Fabu. No way. No way. I'll overthrow. How? I don't get it. Where are you going to do the overthrow? Sometimes you just need to sit down. Unbelief is not that difficult. You know, thinking, where do you get that from? Be bold. You say, I am God. And God says, ah! What am I hearing? I says, I am God. It will just be a joke. It won't be like, nobody's getting angry. He knows you are not God. So why is he fighting? Praise God. Amen. So, you know, the reason why that guy had a problem, the things he was saying too many things. Spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Spirit of fear. Spirit of bondage is to fear. To cringe. After saying, as we gather, may your spirit comes within us. As we gather, glorify your name. Knowing that as our thing is to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. This is may your spirit. Again, after singing that in the same service. Now say, something that makes me come into your presence. My Epa. Then you finish that. In the same service. Same service. Anointing. So, whatever it is, was outside, moved to your presence, is now moving up. Is it a nursery? Well, first outside. He came in. Then he's in your presence. Then he's on top, he's falling. That guy is falling. You know what I'm saying? Holy God, do it again. You are just a confused person. Do it again in my life. Where did you go this time? Open my eyes to see Jesus, who is seated upon the throne. You don't be surprised in the same service. You can say, let the spirit of So, you have opened your eyes, you ran up there again. So he's not coming now. Why is he jumping all over the place? You know why you think that? You're not bold to say, where I am is where he is. You know, that's the spirit of adoption. Amen. That's the spirit of sons. Praise God. Sons don't cringe. They talk. Hallelujah. How many of you say your son is by the grace of God, my son? You don't. You say, my name is only by the grace of God.
Except if you stole the name of your 419.
You say it unconsciously. Hallelujah. That's how we say who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, Pastor Larry Amusha, he said that unconscious heart feeling that drives the mouth to say, I'm what the world says I am. Hallelujah. That is an unconscious thing. It drives the mouth to say. You say it. Not that you are, I am what? No, you just say I'm what the world says I am. Praise God. So we have the spirit of song. Say we have the spirit of song. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So that is what the new covenant is about. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And that's what I'm saying. You see, a whole lot of things has happened. The minute we turn the spirit to things or in relation with things, we rob believers of their inheritance in Christ. I remember Pastor Chris said this years back, 1996. He said that the danger in the use of oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, he said it goes beyond where people are getting blessed. He said the truth is that people have been robbed of their inheritance. That's the truth. Rather than treat themselves as that place where the Holy Spirit is, they begin to look at bottles. That is deceit. That is let no man spoil you with vain philosophy. They are spoiling you. Taking your inheritance away from you. The gist is the Spirit of God is in you. That's what the Word of God says. Don't try to say but. There's no but. You are or you are not. Hallelujah. So follow this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you learning something? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 now. He says, this is the new covenant. He calls the new covenant, pay attention here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who has also made us ministers of the new testament. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit, notice what, the Spirit, no, we're talking about the Spirit. The Spirit. Now, wait for this. In verse 3 he says, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Hallelujah. That is, you became the epistle of Christ through our ministry. Written not with ink. Okay? Follow this. But with the Spirit of the living God. Not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So when he was talking about the letter, alright, which is in verse 6, the letter that killeth, I'll go to that in a moment. Notice in verse 3, there were two writings. Written not with ink. Now, where's ink found for? Ink is found in the earth. There was nothing supernatural about the stones of the Old Testament. Nothing. If those stones came from the Spirit, then there's no need for the new covenant. Written not with ink, not on the tables of stone. Pay attention. Written not with ink. So he says, notice that the two covenants were written. Written not with ink. So, what it says, written in our hearts, is the word egrapho. E-double-G-R-A-P-H-O. Egrapho. E-double-G-R-A-P-H-O. It's used in Luke 10:20. Rejoice not that your names are written, that these demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are egrapho in heaven. Recorded. It means to register something. To register. To put something somewhere. Hallelujah. Now watch this. So he says, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God. The other one he says, follow this. He calls it the letter. The word letter means to write. Is the word epistole. E-P-I-S-T-O-L-E. To write. Or, you have to write, to inscribe. It's taken from an old word, epistelo. E-P-I-S-T-E-L-L-O. Used three times. I'll give you a word. Three times. Acts 15:20, when the church wrote to the Gentile nation. Acts 15:20. Acts 21:25. Then Hebrews 13:22. Hebrews 13:22. Every time that word is used for what is actually written, to write something out. To write something else that can be read. So, why does he call the whole testament the letter? Please pay attention. He calls it the letter because it describes what it was. Written on stones. The letter. In other words, he relates the old covenant to what deals with physical things. Physical things. Written on tablets of stones. He says new covenant written in our hearts. So the real issue here is that the new covenant is in the unseen realm. The old covenant is in physical things. The less we deal with physical things, the more new covenant we are. So when it says the letter refers, not talking about the Bible. See, that's a very adept reasoning, that the letter is what is written. And then the spirit is what is not written. And I'm asking, so how do you know? How did you know that? You knew that, but what was written? Give yourself some brain. I was saying, well, we have Rhema. He says, Logos is the written word. Rhema is a spoken word. So you're speaking. Tell me. So Logos is not active until it is spoken. The beginning was the Logos. The beginning was the written word. The written word was with God. And God was the written word. Hebrews 4:12. The written word is alive. Sharper than every two-edged sword. Written word is alive. Written word. The man said, when Jesus came before Satan, Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, and Satan said to him, he said, it is written the first time. Satan stayed. The second time, Satan said, it is written. Satan stayed. Then he wondered, why? Why is it not going? They said, oh, it is said. So a fellow who was beside me said, you know, sometimes it takes a whole lot to have your throat so hung. So I said, what's the problem? He said, I never saw it like that. You shouldn't. Why should you? So what was spoken, where did he get it? It is written. So what was spoken, was it not written? It is written. That's how they will carry you away. They will kidnap you the way you are doing. Spiritual kidnap. Hallelujah. So letter refers to that which was written on stones. The law. Is that clear? So, he says, the letter killeth. Our sufficiency of God. The letter, he says, killeth. Why would he say the letter killeth? What's the point? He's describing physical things, don't forget. The letter killeth. But the Spirit does what? Gives life. Life. Glory to God. The letter killeth. He says the Spirit gives life. So, the letter deals with physical things. Symbols, are we together? Symbols, imageries, the Spirit deals with reality, life. Letter deals with imageries, Spirit deals with reality. And look at what, well, that's important. He says, he calls it in verse 7, if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, that's the word letter, written and engraven in stones was glorious. He says, then he calls it in verse 9, if the ministration of condemnation, pay attention. Pay attention now. The use of shadows and physical things to describe supernatural things is condemnation on its own. It says that you are dead spiritually. The use, pay attention now, of those things, of types and shadows, already shows that the person, the audience, is dead. And Jesus said that much. Said, you know why I use parables? Because in seeing, they cannot see. Hearing, they cannot hear. Lest they believe, and then they are converted. Matthew's Gospel 13. So the reason why parables are used, and parables are superior to types and shadows. Okay? The reason why they were used is because the audience was spiritually dead. That's why he calls that old covenant the ministration of death. And pay attention. Every time they receive things like that, they always getting wrong. They get it wrong. Always getting wrong. Listen now. So, shadows, the use of shadows, types and shadows, figures of speech, as it were, the use of symbols. Say something. Verse 14. Read it, verse 14. But their minds are what? Blind. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the renown. He uses two things. He says in 13 that when Moses came down from Sinai, he covered his face. He says that was his face. They couldn't step further. Behold that glory. Funnily, he said that this glory is that which is abolished. Okay? Physical things. Now he says, their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away. The word blinded is quite a strong word. It's the word poro in the Greek. P-O-R-O-O. P-O-R-O-O. It's never the work of a third party. No, it's not. You'll find poro used 5 times. Mark 6:52, let's run through it. It's never used for a third party. They were not blinded by a third party. The reason at all why this was used for them, Mark's Gospel, sorry, chapter 6, verse 52. The reason why it was used was because they were blinded. Mark's Gospel 6:52. For their heart was hardened. That's the word hardened. Mark's Gospel 8:17. Have you your heart yet hardened? John 12:40. He blinded their heart, hardened their heart, for they should not see with their eyes, right? Nor understand with their heart and be converted, I should heal them. Romans 11:17. Now, the hardening of the heart, Romans 11:17, refers to a system of unbelief. When you don't believe. Romans 11:17. Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but election had obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Talking about unbelief. Romans 11:7. So, poro means hardened, callous, unreachable, or unperceptive. Someone that refuses to perceive. Their hearts are blind. So, listen now. It worsens the case of a man. Because a shadow describes, or it's used to typify, a hardened heart. A hardened heart. An unperceptive heart. It's when a heart doesn't receive the word that will give him shadows. Okay? That's what he's saying here. Same way, Matthew's Gospel 7 and then verse 8. Matthew's Gospel 7 verse 8. This is important. Notice, where was the Old Testament written? On stones. The word stone, pay attention now, is the word poros. P-O-R-O-S. With synonymous roots. So, the stone is to reflect their hearts. The stone reflects their heart. The new covenant reflects the spirit. The stone reflects their heart. Just like types and shadows. For us, Matthew's Gospel 19. Jesus said, they asked Jesus, why then did Moses give the law? Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel 9, verse 8, because of the hardness of your heart. Hardness. So, things were written on stones because their heart was what? written on stones. Because their heart was hardened. It uses the word sclerocardia. Sclerocardia. That is, the heart is unreceptive to the word. Unreceptive to the word. The more shadows and types are used, the more a man will not believe. The more he will not believe. On stones. Alright? So, can we say it like this? This makes sense. So say, the writing on stones was judgment of the state of man. Can I be correct? Alright, so it's judgment of the state of the man. He gave you the law because of who you are. So it's quite unfair for a believer to resort to stones. Quite unfair. So death, pay attention now, death was in man. So when it says, the letter killeth. Well, the letter killeth doesn't mean you will die by the letter. The letter killeth shows that the letter has death in it. Killeth. That dieth. That is something, not that he's the one that kills people. No, it ministers death. That is, what it ministers is what? Death. It's a proof of man's spiritual status called death. Whereas the spirit, pay attention now, is a proof of God's grace and love. The spirit is a proof of God's grace and love. Things, alright, are never descriptive of the unseen. When they're used, they usually are faulty and describe the state of the man in question. So look at 17, 2 Corinthians 3. So watch this now. They could not look at the face of Moses because their hearts were blinded. Hardened, they couldn't receive the word. They screamed at Moses, don't give us the word. They couldn't look at the face of Moses, that which is to be abolished. Their minds were blinded to the day, watch this, in the reading of the Old Testament. I'm coming to that. In the reading of the Old Testament. Look at 16. Nevertheless, when it shall what? Turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's what? That's the exact opposite of what? Bondage. Liberty means freedom. Now freedom for what? Freedom to look. Freedom to receive. Freedom to understand. That's what we have in Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding. 1 John 5:20. That's why Hebrews 10:29 calls the spirit of God the spirit of grace. What is given freely, life. Spirit of grace. Hebrews 13:9. Go to Hebrews 13:9. He calls, now the writer of Hebrews hardly used the word grace. He hardly used it. Or where he used it, he calls the spirit of grace. Hebrews 12:29 or Hebrews 10:29. They have done despite to the spirit of grace. Hebrews 10:29. Then in Hebrews 13 and then verse 9, he says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Watch this. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Grace is what is freely given. Not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied in. Now he says, not with physical things, not with the temple sacrifices, not with the physical things. The heart should not be occupied with that. Now you and I know that the heart, you don't eat meat and it's in your heart. He's saying your understanding should not be filled with physical things. Symbolic things. Your heart should be filled with what God has given. And what does he call grace in verse 29, chapter 10? The spirit of what? Grace. Still out there? Alright. Hebrews 5, 4, 16, he calls it the throne of grace. Throne of grace. Spirit of grace, let your heart be established in grace. Let your thinking, not on meats. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Is that there? So, come back again. Where do we have the spirit of slavery? The old covenant. How do we discern it? It deals with things. Shadows, right? Why does it deal with shadows? Because their hearts were blinded. So you find it? It ministers things. Don't forget, we started by saying, concerning the things in the... Things in the spirit. Now, we have the spirit of bondage again to fear. To fear. So watch this. The old covenant ministered what man was. The new covenant ministers what God gives. I'll take it one more time. The old covenant ministered what man was. Because the stone was to show what? His heart. And just like every other shadow. Every other shadow. Every other shadow was to show what you are. Whereas, the new covenant ministers what God gives. What does he give? He gives his spirit. So, the new covenant has no symbol. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? New covenant has no symbol. Not one. Not even the picture of Jesus. How about that? Or a dove. Years back, a senator fellowship then, faith family. No. Royal, no. What was the first one I forgot? I think it's royal family. So, I drew it myself. The banner of a ministry. Royal Family Christian Fellowship, 1994. Lighting the world through the word, releasing potentials. Just one fellowship. So, I wanted to combine so many things together, so I have a big Bible on the globe, world globe. That had a dove on top of it. That had fire on it. And I felt, is this good enough? So I asked their brother, brother's name is Stephen, can you help me draw water around this? Those things look spiritual to me. But I was just as daft as what we're drawing. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing spiritual about a church logo. Demons don't care, neither does God. Brand how you like, you're not just different from GTB. Only they collect money, but maybe you do too. They return people's, you don't return theirs. So I thought if you put fire, that is the presence of God. If you put dove, that's the spirit. I was in the church and someone said, the Lord woke me up this morning and he rebuked me. Said, why? Because the picture of the dove on our church logo, the dove was going up. The Lord said we should draw the dove to be coming down. Brethren, do we want the spirit to leave us? I said, no. I shook my head. That sometimes in life, tongues will cease. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, come on, let's see it one more time. And even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. When Moses is read, people still get scared when they read the law of Moses rather than just laugh. When I read some of those laws, I say, this guy is very, very, very inventive. How can you tell people, these curses will follow you. And when it was through, he said, and any other thing. You are not tired of all these things. Look at Luke 28. They were, to every verse of a curse, every verse of a blessing, there were two verses of curses. And I'm saying, who could remove the first one? Tell us what you want to say. You want to curse them. Simple.
What's trying to put blessing there and not put curse? This one will overtake you. Say, but if you don't, this one will. Nobody, everything says, you can't build a house. You can't build a house without a balcony. Hey, guy, come to 21st century, man. There are better houses. You can't shape your hair one kind. It's all about holiness. It's not accepted, though. You can't even have bow leg. He's right there. He just described everything that was wrong. At the end of the day, nobody can keep it. You can't wear a shirt with two colors. You can't have a dress of two different materials. Linen and wool. What's this? Until this day, who should say, brethren? The Bible says it's not this. Say, if your wife is having a menstrual cycle, you can't sleep on the same bed. It says abomination. Your wife says, so what? Spirit of bondage against the fear. Hallelujah. And a woman dripping with blood was touching Jesus. He got healed. I thought she just go, you want to spoil my anointing? The veil is upon the what is this? It says, when Moses is read, and that word read, pay attention, is the word anaginosko, which means, I'm sorry what I'm going to say, you cannot be reading Moses that way. Anaginosko is to read intently. You should know. That's what he's saying. Why are you reading it so? What does this one mean? What does it mean? What are you looking for? Someone say, I want to know which one is the holiest of all, which one is the outer court, inner court. When it was through, I said, you are the temple of God. Find out inside yourself. How can you be doing a series on that? Brethren, what is in the outer court? You went all the way. The outer court. In the outer court, the priests are there. That's the place of worship. It's the place of... I remember I did a 1 month teaching, Eagle Believer. I'm so ashamed of that series. Who is the Eagle Believer? And because I was born out under a certain preacher that we could quote a lot of Bible verses. The Eagle Believer is the one that will write. The eagle goes, he does not flap his wings. Are you sure? So let's go into all that. When he's going, he's glides in the supernatural. I did a series 1 month. And I said, say with me, I'm an eagle believer. Eagle! You know? How can you be reading the movie so seriously? Is anaginosko. What's he saying here? Tinkling cymbals. That's why some people are trying to look for typology in everything Moses said. Typology. What's the white in the temple? What's the blue is royalty. What's the bed? Holy Spirit. What's the, when the water is flowing, that's it. Don't go wrong, man. Everything there was before that take them farther away. What are you looking for? You are looking for life among dead things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me go further now. So he says, there is a veil. Alright? A veil upon their hearts. A veil. When Moses is read, pay attention now. He calls there's a veil. Look at that word in verse 13, verse 14. Verse 15, even verse 16, veil. Kaluma is the word veil. K-A-L-U-M-M-A. Interestingly, it was only used here. Kaluma. Only used here. A veil. K-A-L-U-M-M-A. Only used in this verse, in these verses. Which is taken from the word kalupto, to conceal.
K-A-L-U-P-T-O, to conceal. Use 8 times to conceal. So there's things were concealed from them. You see that word used about foreseen, 1 Peter 4:8. Love covers a multitude of sin. James 5:20. He saves his brother from the multitude of sins. 2 Corinthians 4:3. If I gossipy he, is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. That word kalupto, which you can find in First Corinthians 11:4, when Paul was saying, he that prays, woman prays, or prophesies by head covered, kaluptos, covered, okay, to cover. In other words, when that word is used, you won't see reality. If you cover your head, I can't see your hair. I can. Pay attention now, all those symbols, what do? They covered reality. The Father shielded them from reality. The same way a scarf is not your hair. It's not your hair. It covers it. Same way. The writer of Hebrews says the Holy Spirit, yes, signifies. Amen. Whatever was there, where Hebrews calls it worldly things. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 9. He calls them worldly things. Put your hands in 2 Corinthians 3. So go to Hebrews 9. Worldly things. The very first covenant are ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Worldly sanctuary. Look at verse 9. The Holy Ghost. Do you know this? If you watch how the temple was built, pay attention now. Do you know the whole temple was built around the holiest of all? All the ceremonies was just for one place. The holiest of holies. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 now tells you, that's it, verse 9. Yep. Verse 8 says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. That is, Moses built it that way for them to say that there is no holiest of all here. And they were going every year coming out. So while the tabernacle was standing and the priest was going to say there's still no way in there. Because Moses himself did not go there to do anything. So that's several times. Moses didn't use the temple. Who born Aaron to say he wants to pour on who? After he and if those are his sister, after the had leprosy. Nobody moved there. Moses said, so you get the point. So those things will further take you away from reality. They will. Things like, people build things like, that was oil, cross pictures. People have, they call it altar. What's the nonsense? What's the meaning of nonsense? Altar. So what's altar? To come to the altar. Which altar? Where did you ever find the word altar in the New Covenant? The altar in Hebrews then is where Jesus was sacrificed. Is that what you want to do? Say altar is where the pulpit is. Says who? Who used altar in the Bible? In the epistles. Jesus did not use any. The apostles did not. Say altar. So they make it sanctuary. The thing is well built. Then they put all sorts of stuff there. And then the men of God, they sit there and all that. Now we can have places where, just out of respect, people can sit there, but nothing more than that. People even approach those places with awe. What in the world are we doing to ourselves? What in the world are we doing? What in the world are we doing? We're taking people away from reality to shadows. What in the world are we doing? Take those children away from the altar. From the altar. The altar. And the kids also run away from the altar. And you put in their minds that God is someone they should run away from. No way. Hallelujah. No way. That's why when kids come, when I'm preaching, it's good to, because of order, but I don't scare them.
Take your child. There's a thing coming out of my body right now. If it comes to anywhere, shakara. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You learning something? 1 Corinthians 2. It's 1 Corinthians 2, 9. I has not seen. You've been there before. Hears have not heard. He hasn't heard. Okay? Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. Notice that. Eyes, ears, the heart, the things. And he says in verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us where? By his Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. Notice the things are in the Spirit. Even the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. This is not oil, it's not mantle, it's not water, it's not anything. These are things in the Spirit of God. I have not seen it. He hasn't heard it. Look at this. Verse 12. And we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Are these things, watch this, are these things natural things? No. Are they symbolic things? No. They are things in the Spirit of God. Let's take 13 together. It's going to make sense in a moment. Let's take 13 together. Let's go. With things. Also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing. The word comparing is the word sukrino. S-U-G-K-R-I-N-O. It means to explain what? So put the word explain. So let's say it like this. Explaining what? Spiritual things with the, okay? Explaining things of the Spirit. Is that clear? Things of the Spirit which are not physical things. With who? The Spirit. I mean, with the man who is born of the Spirit. So, we are teaching like with like. Are you there? We are teaching like with like. Comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. So, notice verse 13. With things also we. So, we what? We what? How do we minister the Spirit? Word. We minister the Spirit with what? Words. With words. Not with things. With what?
Words.
With words. Jesus says you hear the sound. We hear the sound. But you can't see that which is born of the Spirit. So that which is born of the Spirit, you can hear the sound. Hallelujah. But just like the wind, you can't see. But you can hear what? So our greatest contact with the things of the Spirit is hearing and speaking. Same way we got saved. Hearing and speaking. Not with things. Look at Paul's teaching. With the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You following me? So, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him. He cannot, he said they are spiritually discerned. So, he said, what? We're talking about things with words. He said, hey, makes sense. It doesn't make sense to him. Noria in the Greek. Looks like he's a doll. But this doesn't make sense. But it's in words. That's why Paul will say, if I mustn't reduce the gospel to baptizing folks, lest the cross of Christ will be of no effect. Christ has sent me not to baptize, but to preach. He has sent me not to symbolize, but to preach. So preaching, alright, is what we're sent to do. So if you're symbolizing, you're making preaching of non-effect. Because God has chosen to save through the foolishness of preaching. So if we resort to things, what happens? will make the preaching of the cross of no effect. So the things of the Spirit are communicated with words. The more we use things for people, the duller they become spiritually. Dollar, not US dollar, please. Some guys might say, glory. So he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We're all with unveiled face, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Behold us in the glass of the glory of God. And then we are changed as an image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. Now look at chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 3. Firstly, we say, there is a veil. Okay? And then we say, the veil is taken away. So when the veil is taken away, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at this. It says, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, see that. So, what ministry have we received? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. The ministry of the Spirit. Okay? As we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, and not walking in craftiness, nor handling what? The word of God, deceitfully, but by what? The manifestation of the truth. That what there is phaneru or phanerousis. It means the unveiling of Christ. By what? By preaching. The New Testament ministry is by preaching. Preaching. Preaching Christ. So here's Paul. Go to Galatians chapter 3 verse 1. That's really the text for this series anyway. Galatians 3 1. It's not there. So, is it clear with you now? Huh? How do we minister the Spirit? By pouring something? By giving you something? The more we do that, we make you much more spiritually dull. We minister by what? Words. Watch this now. Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians. I kind of feel that word is open-ended. Like, I think naturally we should have dot, 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 depending on where you are at that material point in time. Who has bewitched you? Some guys don't like words like this. They think, you're not preaching well, that it's not walking in love. But I kind of feel this is love enough. You know, because the love God used foolish. The love son of the love God used foolish. The love apostle used foolish. I kind of think foolish is a lovely word. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Notice Paul's emphasis. Let's see why he called them foolish. Galatians 1:6. He says, I marvel that you are soon removed from the him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. That word another gospel is heteros. That is, it looks like it. The fellow is going to quote the Bible. He's going to mention Jesus. But look at it closely. The word heteros, I discovered that many ancient Greek language, the word heteros and allos are used sometimes for duplicates. Duplicates, like, look, this is not it. When you duplicate something, not that you reproduce it. You know, duplicate is different from reproducing. You duplicate it in the sense of, okay, you have to, maybe you have to, what we'd call photocopy today. You say, no, this is not the book. This is not the book. This is not what I'm talking about. It's an heteros. It's not the same thing. It looks the same, similar. The songs look similar, but listen carefully. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Someone says, righteousness is a force. What kind of force? Righteousness is a force. You activate your righteousness. He has told you, you are the righteousness of God, but you activate it. Already, that is no longer righteousness through faith. It started out like that, but then that's not really where he's going. A guy tells you, you are blessed. Then he says, for you to access or download the blessings, come on, tell me something. I am blessed. I should be blessed. I think. So, oftentimes, you find the heteros gospel. It looks like it, but it's not it. So, that's exactly what he was talking about. Who has bewitched you? What exactly is he referring to? He's referring to faith in Jesus Christ. The grace of Christ. Galatians 1:6. Verse 4 says, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So go to Galatians 3:1. Put your hands in there. Who has bewitched you? This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by, Galatians 3:2, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Look at the word hearing of faith. Akohe. I come to that. So he's talking about faith. How does he mention faith in here? Not everybody who talks about faith is teaching the same faith. For example, pay attention. What Jesus said in Mark 11:23 is not the same thing. For example, the woman with the issue of blood did not get healed by this faith. No. She didn't get healed by this faith. This faith is in the resurrection of Jesus for justification. It's not faith for things. No. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. There's faith for things. People who got healed in Jesus' ministry, they believe. I'm making sense? They came and they believed. But not all of them believed in this message. So that's not the same thing. So the fact that somebody is so loud about faith for money, faith for finances, faith for this, he's not saying the same thing. He's not the same thing. Paul was very clear. Watch this. Notice that when he teaches faith here, he's not talking about material things at all. Receive you this Spirit. Pay attention here. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing this, that a man is justified. So, I've taught you before. When you find a word in a letter, you go through that letter and see how it is used. Am I making sense here? So, look at how faith is used. Galatians 2:16. Let's take it together. Galatians 2:16, first mention of faith. Let's take it together. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So, he uses the word faith for justification. Even we have believed on Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it teaches faith here as the exact opposite of works, or exact opposite of the law. So, when it says, the hearing of faith, is the Greek word, akohe. A-K-O-E, used for report. I'll come back to that. Used for report. The report of faith. Now, which faith now? The faith of Jesus Christ that justifies you. Are you still out there? Faith that gives you righteousness. That's what he's talking about. So, come back again. Say, who has bewitched you? Told you the meaning of that word. Baskaino in the Greek. B-A-S-K-A-I-N-O. It means to cast a spell. To make you go in a particular direction. It shows in how you dress, how you speak, how you worship, how you pray. You have been bewitched. How you worship, how you pray. Altar. Oil in your pocket. Water for justification. Demonstrating your faith by these things. It shows exactly how you are. You give tithe so that you open the windows, the first fruit for the door. I guess prophets offer for the entire house. So, akohe, the report of faith. Report of faith. To believe. So, watch this now. Who casts a spell on you. Akohe is used by Paul. We're coming to that and how to preach the gospel. Because that's what we're going to. So, you have to really be very patient. Romans 10:16. Akohe. It's talking about the message. For they have not all heard. So then, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Or faith cometh by a report. Hearing, that is the report of the message of Christ. Right? Not hearing, but the report. Akohe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Same thing. So, the message, pay attention now. The message will be what? The message of faith in Christ. The message, the report, the hearing of faith, is the hearing of what? Faith in Christ. Now, faith in Christ is he who loved us and gave himself for us. not in the anointing of the healer in the four Gospels. Still out there? Not the anointing of the healer in the four Gospels. So, Galatians 3:13, he was very clear. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Caused everyone to hang on the tree. It became a curse for us. Now the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles who received the promise of the tree through what? Faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ's resurrection. Faith of the gospel. So he's saying to us, pay attention now. How did you receive the Spirit? Faith in Christ. By the gospel. What Jesus did for you. Not by the works of the law. Let me ask you a question. This is one. He's saying to us that you received the Spirit not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. This is a post-resurrection activity. Still out there? Good. So he now asks a golden question. Remember what we read 2 Corinthians 3. He said, in Moses' ministry, there was a glory that excelled. There was a glory that faded away. The word glory is doxa, things to shine with. Moses had miracles. Still out there? Miracles. So he's saying here, he that worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Coming to that soon. Recall again, what spirit did we receive? The spirit of adoption. That's Romans 8:15. Now the spirit of adoption in contrast with the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now where do you get the spirit of bondage again to fear? The whole covenant. Don't forget again, it's also a spirit. Now, 2 Corinthians 3, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. So what do we have, 2 Corinthians 3:17? The Spirit of what? Liberty. Pay attention. So, how do I know if this is not the Spirit of the Son of God? It's when it ministers fear. The minute there's fear in it, it is not the new covenant. So that takes us closely to Acts 5. Acts 5 had the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Now there's an age-long question among a whole lot of New Testament ministers and great preachers, whether believers, whether not believers. That already shows you what the Lord does to our mind. So confusing. Whether, how do we know? Cause them certain. But then, how do they come to church? That's exactly how the law is. You can never get it clear. Acts 5. What exactly did he minister? After that great workings of miracles, what did he do? He says, hearing these words, he fell down, verse 5, and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all that heard this thing. Abba. Great fear. Great fear came on all that heard these things. After the wife also, you know, to death drew them apart. In verse 11. Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard this, even unbelievers, so that the Bible says they did not try to join themselves with them. That's not of God. That is a spirit of bondage again to fear. That's not of God. The fear was much that people couldn't move close. Let's have church services that unbelievers can never come. Say what? Yes, now. They can never come. Hey, dummy. Jesus was in the womb of a sinner 9 months. She didn't explode. What's happening? I'm suffering. What's happening? The righteous seed is in my womb. No way. Hallelujah. What kind of nonsense is that?
It's fear.
When you see God, I'm not worthy. It was Moses.
Hallelujah.
Fear. Look at, now let's contrast that with Acts of the Apostles chapter 9.
Fear.
Verse 15. Acts 9:15. Are you in church? So Acts 9:30 when I made mistake. Then at the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. Watch this. Huh? Walking in what? Now, was the first one fear of the Lord?
No.
That first one was a fear they couldn't join themselves with. Fear of men. Check it very well. Acts 5 was fear of men. They couldn't join themselves with them anymore. The people were magnifying. Who was magnified? The people were magnified. That is, those folks in the church. Look at it. Come on. Put your hands in Acts 5. I think I rushed a bit there. Acts 5. And the rest does not join, any man join to themselves. Verse 13. But the people magnified them. They magnified them. Acts 9:35. They're walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We're multiplied. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. The kind of fear you have here is not a fear of God. God is not respected via death. This was a fear. The same fear of the old covenant. Now I explained that to you a couple of times. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 talks about godly fear. Hebrews 12. Our God is a consuming fire. Give yourself some rest and read what it means. For our God is a consuming fire. Consuming what? Just read verse 27. Yet once more signify the removing of those things that are shaken. Things, not men. Of things that are made, that things that which cannot be shaken may remain. So he's talking about things. And what do we receive? Hebrews 12, 28. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have more grace. What is freely given, that we may serve God acceptably with reverence, which is godly fear.
Grace. I say grace. He's talking about.
So, the consuming fire, does he mention men there? Huh? No, he mentions things. Again, go to 1 John. You learning something? 1 John 4. 1 John 4, we read it earlier. He says, hearing us is our love made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John 4:18. Let's take it together. There is no fear. Everybody, 1 John 4:18. Are you there? Let's go. There is no fear in love. Take it one more time. One more time. Go on. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, did Peter minister with perfect love? No, he didn't. Now, let me ask you a question. Can a man minister miracles under the spirit of bondage? Can he minister miracles by the works of the law? Is that the spirit of God?
No.
Because there is no fear in the Spirit of God. So, we'll come into this in a moment. So when you go to preach, don't just, I wrote this in my note, I don't know why I did. Don't just speak as you are led. Speak by the Spirit of truth. Sometimes what people call leading is an emotional hunger. Speak by the Spirit of truth. When you go to preach, because what you're preaching is called the gospel. The gospel. Be careful not to impute fear in what you're saying. Fear has torment. There is no fear in the love of God. So if you're preaching the love of God, people will not cringe for God. They will believe. Or doubt. But it's not fair. You know, when I used to ask drama, I used to be in a drama team. I've written movies before for people, Christian movies. I won't tell you the title. But there's just this thing about we need to make it look Christian. And then it must be tough. And then we have to put some scenery. So say, why? So that we can have godly fear. And how do we put godly fear? We paint God with a baritone voice. My son, my son. That's scary enough. And we say that because of the kind of fathers we have. They get so brutal, that's how they talk. We'll put this thing here. Have you ever discovered that your dad used to speak differently in a home than among his friends? He speaks at home like an emperor, a tyrant. And among his friends, he talks normally. I'm wondering, nonsense. You come home and you change your voice. You call yourself, Ayo. And then when you see your friends, Jado. And I'm wondering, what's this about? Well, fear has to make. So when you have to go to God, say, well, how do you hear the voice? Many of us don't know how to hear God's voice, because what we heard is the voice of Moses. What are you doing here? The Holy Spirit ministered to me. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's fear. See, if you don't run out of here now, I will kill you myself. Someone told me, he said, God told me that if I don't do this, that he will kill me. I said, how is he going to kill you? I don't know. Let him kill you first. The guy came on television and he said, God told him to raise $10 million or he will kill him. Funny part is, he didn't raise the money and God didn't kill him. Sure. Let's go further. This makes sense in a moment. Faith in Christ should be your message. Romans 3:25. Whom God has set for, I'll start from 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set for to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, amen, to declare His righteousness for the remission of the sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. What is the boasting then is excluded? By what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Let's take verse 28 together. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Hallelujah. And that's how your message should sound out. Faith in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:15. From a child you have known the whole... 2 Timothy 3:15. I'll slow down. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures from a child, which has made thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God, given to them that believe on his name. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, that's how to preach. That's how to preach. Pay attention now. That's how to preach. Philippians 3:9, that I'll be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but a righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's how to preach the gospel. So, see how Jesus preached. John stood up and said, "O brood of vipers." You check John's message. He's just angry. I told you, the law works wrong. He's just angry. Your love for sinners is not in anger. He's just angry. Angry at them. Really angry. One time, I learned something from a member of our fellowship years back, 96. We had these guys, they were smoking hemp, very heavy hemp, not far from our fellowship venue, which makes it worse. With all the glory of God, they were smoking hemp not too far. So, the light was, it was like a market square just near the fellowship center. And then this sister, she were together, and then some brethren, and the brethren, they passed on. She saw those guys smoking. I was really, somewhere in my mind, I was really angry. How can we be smoking hemp like this? I was looking for a sermon concerning hemp. She just said, hold on. She went to them. She just shared the gospel.
The first thing she did, she knelt down. Now I'm like, kneeling down for smokers. Half of us say, you all kneel down. That's the glory of God. She knelt down. At the end of the day, that night, they all got born again. Everybody spoke in tongues. I'm the pastor, and I'm watching. I'm too angry to get people born again. Sometimes we take people's sins personal. What's your own? Really, what is your own?
Those are offended.
As who? The judge of the whole world? Or deputy judge? Or registrar of the court of justice? What is your... You are a preacher. Come to this. So Jesus, watch this. He sends his own 10 people out to preach. Matthew's Gospel 10:5-8. He says, go, preach, announce the kingdom of God is at hand. He says to them, alright? He says to them, freely have you received, freely shall you give. Then he says, he that does not receive you, your peace returns to you, you go. Do you notice that he never tells them to preach judgment, even though there's judgment if they don't believe? He just says preach. But he tells them, this is the consequence if they don't believe. So, preaching the judgment is not part of what we say. Watch this. You are to preach Christ, not the judgment. The judgment exists, but that's not your message. So, we must preach Christ. And that's what happened in Luke 9. Turn to Luke 9. They got to a place, and listen carefully, it was rejected. They told him to leave town. They didn't allow him to set up a stage to even preach. They didn't allow him to even have service. Luke 9. And see what he did. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. They didn't receive him. In verse 53. Disciples were so angry, like you and I could be. Try to preach on a bus and they say, sit down! You look around, your eyes go red. Why are you taking it personal? You're on the street, I guess. I don't want to hear you. You nonsense hypocrite. I can command you to turn to crayfish now. Bros. There's something else in your voice. It's not Jesus Christ. Who are you talking to? Me. So funny. Did you amaze you that what Jesus in the vision told Saul of Tarsus was, I am Jesus that you persecute. How about that? Hallelujah. How about that? You get it. Sometimes we take things too personal. In Luke 9, they didn't allow them to come. And then Jesus, don't forget, they rejected Jesus. Then his disciples got crazy. Without we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did. Now the point is this. Do you know that if they reject Jesus, they will eventually be consumed? Hallelujah. But that's not your message. Your message is, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Because their destruction is the absence of His salvation. That's why that destruction should not be your message. Listen carefully. Your message is His salvation. The absence of faith in your message of Jesus is their destruction. So that destruction should not be your message because they cannot believe except you preach that message. You get that? So know your work. Now if I'm going to say that to you today, I'll say, know ye not your ministry? Don't you know your ministry? Your ministry is to preach salvation. This is the day of salvation. No one will be judged till they reject the gospel. And sometimes, it takes a while. Saul of Tarsus rejected the gospel for as long as I think he did. So you don't place judgment on people. Oh, those two refused to believe Jesus in 1145 died at 1155. You should be crazy talking like that. You preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel. You know, we were sent to preach the gospel. Let me say it one more time. Do you know you were sent to preach the gospel? Okay, you know you were sent to preach the gospel. Oh, come on. You know you were sent to preach the gospel. You are not sent to preach the consequences of not believing the gospel. How can that be? You can't carry two messages. Faith cannot come out of judgment. Faith cannot be birthed from a message of condemnation. Faith can only be birthed from the message of Christ suffering, death, resurrection for sinners. That's where faith comes from. You must know what your message is. In Luke's Gospel chapter 7, Jesus sees a woman. That woman is a prostitute. Imagine yourself today. I remember one time, some brethren, we organized an outreach. We went to Ayilara Street. I don't know whether it's still like that today. And it's a place for prostitutes. My Lord Jesus Christ, I'm so holy. And before we went for that outreach, I prayed a night, a whole night. I was so scared. How can we go to preach to prostitutes? But I was so scared. Because I saw those folks like, my God. And I'm imagining, how many men must have come to this? That's what I was sent to do, but that's what I was doing. How many men should I have slept with today? That was what was on my mind. But later on, I learned better. So we went to preach to prostitutes. And then I preached to one. First time in my life. One on one. And something was that because I'd now been immersed in the new covenant, what was in my mind that evening in that room was the love of God. And I could just picture what happened in Luke 7 when the woman came to Jesus. And she's a prostitute known by all men. Sometimes I ask, how did the Pharisees know? Come on, sister. Don't bother yourself. I just ask the question. Because I don't think it's something you... Oh, come on. Luke's Gospel 7. And then here she is. She breaks an alabaster box of ointment. Interestingly, that should be proceeds from her income. And then she's there with Jesus. And they say, this man, verse 39, if he were a prophet, should have known who and what manner of woman. See that? Who and what manner. That's what she, for she is a sinner. Idiots. There she was. And Jesus is love. Made it easy for a sinner to do that to him. How about that? What if he was like many of us, all frowning, as a man of God going? When I was younger, the more you frown, the more anointed you look. The Bible says the wicked man hardened his face. She could come to him. You know, the only people that were not comfortable with Jesus were hypocrites. Hypocrites. Law teachers were not comfortable with him. There they were. Watch this now. Do you know why? It seems like Jesus acknowledged the faith of two people in the Bible and they were not Jews. Because they were not conscious of the law. There was no cringing to those folks. Watch this. She came to Jesus. She wasn't uncomfortable. Jesus wasn't. And Jesus said, she has loved me much. She's forgiven much. Our sins are forgiven. Follow this. Another man is Zacchaeus. Chapter 19. He entered Zacchaeus' house. Don't know where it was. Maybe Banana Island. And then he says, this day, is salvation come to your house? Verse 10. Luke 19. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, look at evangelism as seeking for the lost. Sometimes we are more comfortable with those who don't appear too lost. Seek them out. Seek and save that which is lost. So the first thing he does, he goes to them. That's important. In evangelism, we don't call sinners to come. We come. We go to them. We know they are not sinners because of their conduct. They are sinners because of the gospel. So we know what to do. We know how to preach to them. In John 8, I'll come to this later. A woman was brought to him who was found in adultery. And then he doesn't look up. He doesn't look up until those hypocrites leave. Sounds symbolic. Guess you guys are gone somewhere. I said he doesn't look up until the hypocrites leave. That sounds symbolic. Alright? No. Glory to God. So folks looking for his presence are usually hypocrites. Sinners get it very easily. Amen. Alright, you guys need to follow that prayer. He taught against false doctrines. He was hard against those things. We'll see this next week. And their actions, famous. He always embraced people. In Luke 18, he gives a story of two folks. One fellow said, I'm a sinner. The other guy says, I do this, I do that. So this one's justified, this one is not. And that's exactly how the gospel should be preached. Again, look at Peter's sermons. We'll examine that next week because of our time. In Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5. And by Acts 10, Peter begins to simmer down. The way he preaches is very different. Go to Acts 10. In Acts 10, he preaches differently. Two things happen to him. And it changes his theology and how he preached. In Acts 10, he has a vision. And in verse 15, in the vision, he's told, what God has cleansed, do not call common. That means he always had the wrong call. He was corrected. What God has cleansed, do not call common. You know, this is a change of theology. A change of view. That means there was a different Peter in Acts 5. Acts 5, Peter was a man still in between the law and grace. And you could switch to either one depending on your mood. That's exactly what happened. He's finding this a strange encounter. He begins to doubt what was said to him in the vision. That shows you the depth of what he did not know. He begins to doubt it. His first problem really was food. Can you imagine? Food. Such depth of ignorance, and yet he has been in the ministry. He has a big ministry. He's on TV. He has bosses. He has jets. Doesn't make any difference. He's ignorant. And his audience will suffer for it. Ask Ananias and Sapphira wherever you meet them. If they go to heaven, find out. If they don't, find out too. All right, let's go further. So he asked me, he said, where Ananias and Sapphira? He asked, where is Susan that's in the presence of heaven? So what if he's not there? You find out yourself. Let's go further. Verse 22. Cornelius said, I saw an angel who said, I should send for you to hear, verse 22. This is important, people, to hear your words. We determine these things. To hear your words. Our words are important. The angel couldn't say anything. This man has to hear your words. That fellow on the street has to hear your own words. So you will have to determine what you are going to say. You will determine whether you are going to preach the word of faith or you are going to preach a message of guilt and condemnation. But they will hear your words. Follow this. Are you following this? 23. And Peter, he lodged them in. He lodged them in. He lodges these guys in. Look at what he says in 28. You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company. He didn't say it was. It is. This is the Peter of Acts 5. It is. Or come to one of the nations. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He doesn't understand. He said, God has showed me. This is Peter. He's a man still bound under the law. It's a key fact. So right now, the ministry of Peter, and not just Peter, is about to change. He has miracles and signs and wonders. But his message is mixed. His message is mixed. Watch this. An angel spoke to Cornelius. We see that on Saturday. An angel spoke to Cornelius. So look at his sermon. His sermon is measured. But again, his sermon is mixed. He says, watch this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, sometimes God just knows who we are. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Who asked him to say this? You perceive. But I like the opening statement, your opinion. In every nation, he that fears him, Abba, is about to spoil a major thing. He's about to send someone to hell. And works righteousness is accepted with him. You and I know that statement is wrong. That statement is the exact opposite of what he's going to say in verse 38 to 43. The exact opposite. Works righteousness, salvation is, listen to this, he's mixing the message. Then he begins to talk about Jesus. The more he talked about Jesus, the gospel came out. The more he first started with healing, there's no salvation in that. Miracles and wonders, there's no salvation in that. Until he got to the facts, the events. And God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all people, but to his witnesses chosen before God, verse 40, what even to us. Would he eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead? He commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Let's take 43 together. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him should receive remission of sins. Does that contradict verse 35? Yes. Whosoever believes, no, who walks righteousness. Now, do you notice this? His message had a mixture of works and faith in Christ. What does that tell us? When people preach like this, salvation is possible, right? Eventually, because they also talk about Jesus. But spiritual growth is hardly possible. See what I wrote in my notes. You want to hear it? But when I study and write things like this, I said, but Ananias and Sapphira, don't die. Some folks today are saying, we have stopped preaching law. But man, after how many years? Do you know how many guys have been misled? I'm not blaming them. I'm just telling you that sometimes you've got to know where to be. Here we are. So here is his defense. Chapter 11, verse 14. In his defense, he says, look, what they told me, what the Lord told me, thou shalt tell thee, who shall tell thee, verse 11, 14. Chapter 11, verse 14, sorry. We shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. People are waiting on your words. They're waiting on your words. And see what it says. For as much then as God gave them, verse 17, like gift as he did unto us, who believed on Jesus Christ. So he zeroes his preaching to believing. Pay attention. You were sent to preach, not to judge people's conduct. You were sent to what? To preach. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you. That's quite big. That word is krino in the Greek. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. It means, I made a judgment call. I judged not to know anything among you. Except Jesus. And him crucified. You must do that in your message. In Romans chapter 10. Run there quickly. You learning something? Romans chapter 10. In evangelism. Romans chapter 10. You know you can get very emotional. You want to say some things. Don't bother. Romans chapter 10 verse 8. Whatsoever the word is neither in your mouth in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now you go read this. You know at home I'm going to balance it up. I'm going to continue the other week when we come back on this. Now, look at what he says. There are critical things he says here. In verse, he begins to ask a question in verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I submit to you that there are many people today who go to churches and they never heard about the gospel. Watch this. How shall they preach except they be sent? I tell you oftentimes, that if you remove the preacher away from these questions, there can't be salvation. There can't be a message without a preacher. There can be who to call without a preacher. The preacher is so critical to people's salvation. So say the preacher. Say anything in the preacher. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul gives us a litmus test. 2 Corinthians 4, run there. Verse 6. I want us to read that together. 2 Corinthians 4, sorry, I want to say verse 5. Let's go. Let's go. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. Are you there? Let's go. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. We preach not ourselves. It is a manifestation of the gospel. So I say, we preach not ourselves. Not your emotions, not your anger, not your feeling, not the way you see things. You preach Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, the word preach is the word keruso. It means to announce. It's used for a newscaster. You are not to analyze. You are to what? Announce. You don't pass a personal opinion in a newscast. You say exactly what you're given. You may have a feeling. You know, sometimes if you see newscasters, they have an opinion. It's different from a TV show. In a news, you should say exactly what happened. Say exactly what they write for you. That's why there will be a news director. There will be different people. You are just to just say what they give you. Good morning. So-and-so. So-and-so. Now, to this. That's all. Don't say, I feel. You lose your job by your feeling. You are a preacher. You preach the good news. What's the key words in Romans 10? How shall they call on him they have not believed? How shall they believe someone they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You discover that there's nothing about how shall they change without a preacher. It's how shall they believe. So your message should zero in on faith. Strictly faith. Faith in Christ is the hearing of the gospel of Christ. Faith comes by hearing Jesus. Faith doesn't come by hearing your testimonies. Faith comes by hearing Jesus. Don't be shocked to find people mix things in their sermons. Let's just run through this. In Acts 6:7, some folks who believe were called priests, believing priests. I'll run through this for you. Well, I'll tidy up this the last two sessions we're going to have. Acts 6:7. The word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Acts 6:7. And a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. They were still priests. Acts 6:7. Acts 11:2. Some folks were called the circumcision which believed. Acts 11:2. They contended. Acts 11:19. Acts 11:19. Folks who went to preach around the world, the Bible says they preached the word to none but unto the Jews only. Acts 11:19. These folks were in ministry, but their thinking was not developed in Christ. And they were strong in ministry. Acts 15 verse 1. Acts 15 verse 1. Some guys taught this in the church. 15 chapters, guys. And he said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. These were ministers. In verse 5, they said, well, it is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Verse 5. Acts 11. Acts 15. He calls them a sect of the Pharisees which believe. So they were believers. They were a sect. The word sect is the Greek word hieresis. H-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. Used for heresy. It's called an opinion. Some guys have an opinion. It can be in form of a denomination or a very large ministry. Or an organization. But it was a sect of people. Today we have in the body of Christ a sect of people. And that's what they believe. Hallelujah. They believe this and they will stand against anything because of that's what they believe. Hieresis. You find that word in Acts 5:17, Acts 24 verse 5, Acts 24 verse 5, Acts 24:14. I'll say it again. Acts 5:17, Acts 5:24, Acts 5:17, sorry. Acts 24 verse 5. Acts 24 verse 14. Acts 26 verse 5. Acts 28 verse 22.
So they will have diverse opinions. A diverse opinion from the gospel of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11:19, Paul talked about it. Galatians 5:19 is called a walk of the flesh. Look at Acts 15. Even James, the great man of God, the pastor of the church as it were, see what he says. He said, but we write unto them, Acts 15:20, that they abstain from pollutions of idols. He added that to the message. And from fornication, and from things strangled from blood. And see how he rounds it off. Verse 21, Acts 15. For Moses of old time, and in every city them that preach him, having read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Abba. It starts out well. Then see what he mixes up. Even James. Look at verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, so batten your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. So what exactly did you say? You did plus 5, minus 10. Look at verse 23. And they wrote letters. Letters that people were going to study and were going to practice. And this danger, I'll close here. This danger came out later. Because every time we mix the message, we'll produce a kind of believers. A breed of Christians. A breed of believers were created. In Acts 21, they showed their face or their true color. Acts 21. Paul came to Jerusalem. Are you there? Are you there? And verse 20. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said, "This thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews." Are you there? Are you there? There are which believe, born again. But who are they? They are all zealous of the law. Are you following this? Who produced them? The church. The church. They weren't preaching pure Christ in their sermons. He says in verse 21, and they are informed of you that you teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come to together, for they will hear that you have come. 23. Do therefore this that we say to thee. There are four men which have taken a vow on them. On top of what? He says, take them take and purify yourself with them, be charged with them, that they may shave their heads, and all that may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. But that thou thyself also walks orderly and keeps the law. This is chapter 21. As touching Gentiles we believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. This will happen when a message is not clearly taught. I believe we're in a time where we have to do this aggressively. To preach Christ only. Faith in Christ only. It may not be convenient. Paul battled this for years. No works, all the love of God. All Christ has done. Is it possible? Yes, it is. Hallelujah. See the kind of folks that they bred. Angry people. They didn't even want to hear Paul. They literally handed him over to those who jailed him. Why? The law works for us. That's what it is. Romans 4:15. The law works. The New Testament ministry preaches the grace of God. Preaches faith in Christ alone. It doesn't dabble into types and shadows. It doesn't use symbols. The New Testament ministry does not focus on combat. It focuses on the person of Jesus. The New Testament ministry does not preach demons. It preaches the Holy Spirit.
the spirit of the Son, the spirit of adoption. And we trust God. As men that are here, there's anywhere in the world, there'll be changing the hearts of men. We'll have more men preaching Jesus than elongating the law and Moses. I believe that. Amen. Put your hands to worship. Worship Jesus. I believe God, as you go out after today to preach the gospel to people, maybe in your office, maybe in your street, to go out evangelism, you preach and not analyze. You preach and not scrutinize. Just announce Jesus and faith is come. Worship. Put your hands, just worship Him.